Thought you could just sneak off? The time hasn't dulled all my senses.
This shouldn't be a surprise. The Rebellion needs pilots now more than ever. I made my choice, Hunter. I want to do more.
And we want to keep you safe.
You have. But I'm not a kid anymore. You don't have to worry about me.
You're our kid, Omega. You always will be.
Hunter, you've all fought enough. This, it's my fight. I'm ready.
Yeah, I know you are. But I'm not. Omega. If you ever need us, we'll be there.
Milkers everywhere, welcome to episode number 399. Blast Points is Jason.
This is Gabe. You know, what's funny is we almost planned this too, where it's like, it's Clone Force 99, it's episode 399. How do we do this?
I know. I just thought of that like 2 hours ago, and I wrote down in my notes, it's episode 399 for Clone Force 99. Bad Batch Season 3, 399.
Yeah, we planned it all along, all these years ago. We found just like George Lucas, we found a book in the woods from aliens that had all the secrets of Blast Points. We just had to follow that book. Everything would fall into place.
The beginning got burned when it fell into space. That's why it was more, we got to fill it in more. Yeah, I love that story. And the story I read was that the book from the aliens that he found, it was found at Skywalker Ranch. I felt the energy when we were there.
That's why there's the places that you're not allowed to go, because that's where they keep the pages from the book that George Lucas found in the woods that fell from outer space.
We should have said that when we were on the tour. Where's the book from space that this is all based on?
Yeah.
This is all great. Skywalker sound, it's amazing, but tell me where the book from space is.
Yeah. That's why they called the Book of Boba Fett, because they were talking about the book from space. The real journal of the wills.
So we are talking about the Bad Batch series finale. The cavalry has arrived. We're recording this on the day it came out. Before we start getting into the chunky bits of the episode, general thoughts, general impressions. How's this episode treating you?
There was no mustache man.
No.
Mm-mm. So take that as you will. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about the show anymore, because I don't know what happened to Mustache Man.
Yeah. What's the point of even doing any of this? What's the point talking about this? Good night, everybody. We'll see you at 400.
No, it was great. I was really happy because it was like, you know, we were talking previously of like, you know, with every Star Wars show, it's like before the second to last episode, you're like, how are they going to wrap this up? And then you're like wondering, well, are they going to just have another like 20 minute episode and somehow just wrap up a couple things? Or is it going to be a giant sized episode and they're going to like wrap everything up? But it was like they tricked us and it was a giant sized episode, but they spent the giant sized time just wrapping up the tiny story that mattered with what was going on with just the Bad Batch and Omega and the small group of main characters. And it didn't involve Cody and Rex and Ventress and Cad Bane and Naked Emperors and, you know, all the stuff that we thought if they had more time that they would bring in. I mean, we didn't even see Fee or Sid, or it was just, it's all about the Bad Batch. And it was great. And I'm so glad that they did that and then also gave it the time it needed to really wrap it all up, at least with that core group.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we fall into that same trap. And it's not just us, it's everybody. With the season finale of a show or, well, Mutt Williams is going to show up on his motorcycle being like, you need any help, daddy-o, or something? Like, everybody's going to come in. It never happens. And yeah, like you said, this episode is about the family. It's about the Bad Batch family. I love that the moment when they're going to go into Clone Mountain and Crosshair is like, well, I deserve to die. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to go in there solo. We're going to do Plan 99. And Hunter is like, there's no way. We're going in together. We're a family. We're a crew. And him saying like that Clone Force 99 died when Tech died and stuff. That's not who we are anymore. And in a way, it's true. Yeah, they're not Clone Force 99. They're a family. And at the end, when I'm jumping all over the place here, but at the end on the bridge, when Omega hugged Crosshair and Wreck and Hunter together, I'm not going to lie, I was like, man, I'm starting to get a little choked up. It came out of nowhere for me. And I was just like, man.
Yeah. Especially because she hugged Crosshair first.
And it was the way it was animated and everything. It was all so, it all felt so emotionally real and everything. And I'm like, that's where this show has excelled. Like, no one ever thought that the Bad Batch, when it was announced, would be this. I think like even early on we were like, oh, that'd be cool if aside from like these special clones, if it like talks about what happened to all the other clones, and those episodes were great. And it did do that, but also it gave us so much more. It's like even more family-centric and emotional than Rebels, which Rebels was really family. I don't know, in my opinion, I think it was.
Yeah. Well, I think it just went all in on the Luke and Vader Star Wars redemption thing where you can never be too bad to try to be better. And it's always worth doing the right thing, even if you've always done the wrong thing, and basically making an entire show that's that with Crosshair and all of them kind of like coming from being soldiers and doing war things and then realizing now that they just need to be a parent and that, you know, it's, you can just be a good person and that's okay. And your right. family will always love you, even if you're crazy sometimes.
And then, yeah, we know how that goes. And, and
or if you're crazy all the time.
Thank you for accepting me as who I am. And then it's all about choices, the choices you make as a person, how that defines you and how important it is to have the freedom to choose who you want to be as a person. That was such a big thing in this show. And it was all over this finale too. It was almost like this finale was like the thesis statement of the Bad Batch, or like going back through the essay of the Bad Batch and highlighting the important parts. Like, in case you missed it, this is what we're trying to tell you with this show. And it's such a Star Wars message. It's such a George Lucas-y kind of message, but it's that's the thing. That's why we like these stories. It's because these kind of messages are timeless and they never get old. And I just like hearing them over and over again. This show is great. It was a really great show.
It was really cool too that they kind of carried the whole family angle over to making the show too. With this episode had three directors, which were kind of Stuart Lee, Sal Ruiz, and Brad Rao, who go, you know, back to Clone Wars. Like, the three of them all directed this episode with Jennifer Corbett writing it. So it was like the main crew all working together to do this finale, which is just a cool way to do it as well.
And Dee Bradley Baker pretty much doing the entire show, except for Michelle Ong as Omega, and yeah, Hemlock and Goofball Rampart. Just Dee Bradley Baker just out of control, and the Kiners just out of control with the music, the sound in this episode. I mean, we talk about this stuff every week, but that's the thing. Like, even like everyone on the behind the scenes team, they're all so good at what they're doing at making this Star Wars animation. It's really great.
Well, and since we're talking about that too, kind of jumping around, there's the one part right after the Zilla Beast kind of starts to go crazy. And there's an awesome cut from the Zilla Beast into Emery and Echo in the vault. Did you catch that? And it's like everything's going crazy and the sound is crazy and the music is crazy. And it's just like a hard cut visual and audio. And then all of a sudden they're in the quiet vault. Like, it was just a really cool transition and kind of different than anything they really did in the past.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And it was really neat. And it just made me think too about how far apart those things are happening, where it's later where they're kind of like, oh wait, what's that? And like one of the Republic commandos comes in, is like, the Zilla Beast is going crazy. it was a great final episode, and overall I'm just like, man, what a like solid series overall. Just, I think we said this before, maybe in some of the Patreon episodes, but it's like, you just, or maybe we said it was Star Wars Explained, I can't remember, but you just really got to hand it to him for sticking to three seasons and just like, this is a story we're going to tell. We're going to tell a tight story, character focused story, and we're going to be done in three seasons. But that's the thing too. And we'll get to the, is any Star Wars show ever really done at this point? I think we've learned our lesson from that, where we can safely say no.
No, no. But yeah, just the general of starting out with, you know, the Bad Batch you loved from Clone Wars, Crosshair going bad and being the villain for the first season, and then the second season, him not really realizing or knowing what he is anymore, and then, yeah, with this season kind of bringing the Batch back together. Yeah, it just worked out perfect.
So let's get into the episode. Let's start breaking down all the chunky bits. It starts out where they're still in the jungle, what, in Wrecker's Hurt. And the Goofball Rampart was captured in the last week's episode, and he meets Hemlock and his glove, which the conversation between Goofball Rampart and Hemlock and his glove is so good because they both think they're the most important people in the world.
Yeah. No, and that was like watching this episode too. It was like, oh man, they did kind of like, they had the checklist that everyone at home had, and they did a really good job of like going down the checklist where it's like, okay, we got to at least have one scene with Hemlock and Rampart together, and we got it. And it was juicy with Nala Seg like creepily watching through the vents of like, oh yeah, you're back. I remember you.
And I love Hemlock where he's just like, you don't know about my secret project and I'm the Emperor's best friend and all this stuff.
Oh man. Oh, the other thing before we get too far too, we can't forget that like the start of the episode too with the Bad Batch logo with the paint scraped off to match their uniforms was a great start.
I didn't get it at first where I was like, wait, what's that? What's happening? Why is it so dark? But yeah.
Yeah. It's the new Clone Force 99, their new look, new logo.
So Omega and the Bad Batch babies, they reprogram the droid, the superstar droid from last week. I was so happy when this happened because I'm like, man, I love that flying spider medical syringe droid. And when it attacked Headband Lady and was like the good version of the droid, I was just like, man, I knew all along you were too cool to just be evil.
Well, and they got, you know, they made sure to get their money's worth with the animated hand that spins around to be a needle. Like, we got to see that, like, full on.
As soon as it was sneaking up on Headband Lady, I was just like, oh, man. I love you. I love you, crazy medical droid.
You know, I kind of want to get sick so I can hang out with the droid. Maybe it'll give me a shot.
Just scan me and just talk to me. Just
give me a shot of adrenaline when Acolyte comes out, please. Just come to my house.
That Tuesday night. About 8:30 or something, yeah. You got to be here because yeah. Things are going to be starting to get weird.
Yeah, inject it right into my heart, please. I'll be laying on the floor waiting.
I'm going to be sweating. So then, yeah, they released the Zillow Beast and it goes nuts. This was all great because, yeah, last week when we were talking to Star Wars Explained, we were like, the Zillow Beast is going to destroy all of Mount Tantus, and it basically makes a hole so the Bad Batch can go into, and then the Zillow Beast is just like, peace out, I'm out of here, guys.
Which is really actually, that's the way it should be. Because I like, too, this is still kind of almost like, this is like teenage Zillow Beast. Like, it's not full grown yet, and it just, yeah, it eats a couple people, it gets out, and it's like, oh, I can just hang out in Zillow Beast land. It's like where there's now like Star Wars Monster Island, where it's just full of monsters, and there's now a giant Zillow Beast that's just going to hang out there and be so happy.
But think of, you know, it's, think of this too, where it's for decades we have wondered, like, where's the Zillow Beast? What's going on with the Zillow Beast? The Zillow Beast, much like the Bad Batch, is now free. It's free just to live its Zillow Beast life.
Yeah, to make its own Zillow Beast choices. Is it going to eat the giant bear monster? Is it just going to drink water? Yeah, maybe it'll come back and eat all the scientists in the other Tantist mountain. if they decide not to leave.
Mustache Man is hiding in the other mountain.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Zillow Beast is just going to be like, you know what? I don't need to eat you. There's like fruit in the trees and water and stuff. I don't need to eat you, Mustache Man. Or maybe the Zillow Beast will go to Pabu. And hang out with the Boba Boys and have sushi.
Maybe. Maybe the Zillow Beast will just grow a mustache.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when no one's harassing it, it's got time.
You know, it's like the first time in Clone Wars when we saw, like, the clone trooper who forgot he was a clone trooper. And he had a wife and, like a fruit stand or something. And he had a beard. And he's just like, what are you guys talking about? My name's Gary, you know?
That'll be the Zillow Beast. It'll have a giant fruit stand.
It learned how to talk. Hello.
Yeah. Why not?
Would you like a banana?
So, right. Yes. Emery and Echo. I love this where they are trying to find where Omega and the Bad Batch babies went. And they're just following the path of destruction, pretty much. It's like, yeah, this was Omega's work.
Well, in the middle of this too is the Bad Batch getting serious about Crosshair wanting to do Plan 99 and it not happening because they're a family now. They can't split up.
It's so good because like it's this whole episode is just like go, 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 go. And it's like again, that's a little moment where the points of the show, what the Bad Batch show is really about, is highlighted and underlined and circled.
Well, I guess it's important, too, because it's also like, you know, because through the whole series, we're like, well, is the Bad Batch like, are they going to retire to be with Omega? Or do they feel like they can't retire because, like, you know, they're too good at what they do to not help people? And at this point, like, they're just in rough shape. So it's like they've kind of earned their right to retire because it's like Crosshair's got the shakes. Wrecker's like got mauled by a space bear and they're not at 100% and they're old and they're tired, but they just got to get Omega.
So while Omega and the Bad Batch babies are making their way out, and I love the scene where little Jax is afraid of heights and Omega's comforting him, talking about like how Wrecker is afraid of heights. And I did just such a cool moment of way where it's like all of this with Omega leading the Bad Batch babies out of Clone Mountain, where she's just a natural leader. And she's like, listen, your fears don't define you. And, you know, that doesn't mean you're not a good person just because you're everybody's afraid, blah, blah, blah. You know, like Omega's just, she's become this leader. Yeah, and I couldn't help thinking back to Omega in like season one, where she was like, wow, you know, space, and just how much that character has grown.
Yeah, because at this point, with getting the kids out, she's technically escaped Tantus twice, and she could have left with the kids, but she's like, no, I'm going to go for three times, and I'm going to go back in with you guys, and let's get everybody else out.
She has zero fear. Zero fear. So Hemlock and his glove, they go to activate the Clone X guys. Were you getting Dark Trooper vibes from this moment with the Clone X squad?
Well, it was like Dark Troopers crossed with Inquisitors, because they kind of had the Inquisitor-y looking helmets, and then they had like swords and whips and like melee weapons instead of blasters. So it was like almost like a little bit of an Inquisitor vibe going on. Yeah, they were really cool.
And like Praetorian guards, and almost kind of like Knights of Ren in a weird way. Like if we saw like the original, like when you saw like photos of the Knights of Ren, it's like, man, that one guy's got like a giant sword. Like, what is this? You know?
Yeah, they were pretty cool. And it was neat because it was like, oh, they are kind of doing like the evil version of the Bad Batch, because there was the big kind of wrecker guy and the sniper crosshair guy who was the one from the earlier episodes. And then there was the guy with the whip thing, who I guess would be the hunter one. And then there's the one that we find out kind of looks like Tech, but with ninja swords.
Yeah, the Electroblade guy. And that was kind of weird, because they show you his helmet, and his helmet looked kind of a lot like Tech's helmet with like the little goggle things on it. And it's like, what are you doing here? Like,
yeah.
This episode's got like 20 minutes left. Why are you making me think about this? I'm still not convinced. I don't think, but it was kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Cause I even remember like about halfway through the episode thinking, yeah, it's Tech's dead. It's kind of glad they just did it. Cause it's like, you know what? Just do it. It makes it sad, but you know, it makes it hurt. Just do it. And then next thing I know, it's like, wait a second. They've been going out of their way not to show this guy. And now at the end here, they're just going to zoom in on his evil helmet that has round Tech goggles on it. It's like, wait a second, what are you doing to us? And they make sure to show that he doesn't get stabbed or impaled or shot. He just gets his head smashed into a wall.
I don't believe, but it was weird. And if I have any complaint with the episode too, it's like this whole fight, it's a lot of people in black armor kind of fighting each other, and it's at night. And if you watch it during the day, it's kind of like, wait, what's happening here? Because it's a lot of just helmeted people in black fighting each other.
Yeah, it was a lot cooler when I rewatched the episode at night, watching that scene, because then it was like, oh yeah, I can kind of tell what's going on. And the, you know, the neon laser weapons kind of help a little bit. But yeah, it was a lot of dark silhouettes shooting dark silhouettes.
But oh my God, yeah, the Electroblade guy cuts off Crosshair's shooting hand when Crosshair's trying to save Wrecker, like literally slices off his hand. I was just like, man, even though it's Star Wars and Star Wars people are getting hands cut off left and right, it's part of Star Wars, but I was like, man.
But we find out that was almost a good thing, because it was like, that was like the last bit of evil Crosshair trying to get out. It's like Evil Dead. It's like trapped in his hand. I'm surprised the hand didn't come back afterwards and try to get him, because it was like the rest of him turned back to good Crosshair, except for that hand. That darn hand just didn't want to be good anymore.
But also I was thinking, it's such good kind of symbolism too, because it's what for him, what defined him for a reason, a purpose, you know, this is the reason I am here. I'm Crosshair. I'm, you know, a great shot with a sniper and I never miss and all that stuff. And you can take that away from him. And you see in the end of the episode, he's still a great shot and he's grown as a person. Like his one thing, his gimmick isn't who he is. And it's kind of neat thinking about this whole Crosshair story arc too, where I almost forgot that how in season one, he was the one who the Order 66 chip made him go crazy. And there was the whole thing where it's like, did Crosshair like remove his chip? Does he still have the Order 66? You know, and he was the one who was like gung-ho on season one where it's like, yeah, the Bad Batch is bad. The Empire is good. I kind of forgot about all that.
Yeah. They took the chip out, but he was still evil because the evil was it. The chip, there was another chip in his hand. I'm sure there's somebody out there who's like, oh, that makes sense. He had another chip in his hand, and when they cut it off, he could be good.
Then I think about Hemlock and his glove hand. Like, why
no? So many hands. And Echo with his no hand, and then he gets a hand. He still had the hand in this one.
He still had the hand, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like there's one hand between the three of them to share. What does that mean? Must mean something.
So the Bad Batch babies, they go and they get in a ship with Emery. And that's really great that they're Emery, good Emery. And then the Bad Batch are being held prisoner. And they're getting like the Dr. Pershing treatment, which is scary. Reminds me of the part in Flash Gordon where the scientist gets his memory wiped and all that stuff. It's freaky.
Don't forget, before that, there's time you got to take a phone call with Tarkin. Hemlock may think he's a big bad dude, but he still has to take phone calls from Tarkin. And Tarkin is not happy. He's coming to visit.
Yeah, I love Tarkin is like, yeah, it seems like you're really screwing stuff up, and I'm going to come there and personally check out how bad you're screwing up so I can report back to your best friend, Palpatine, that you're so close with. I like how Tarkin's just like, well, I was just talking to Palpatine just now, and he's not happy with what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing, who's more friends with Palpatine? Like, I think I know Palpatine more than you do.
Yeah, we had lunch today. You're off in your secret planet doing experiments. We're eating nachos and tacos together.
Laughing about you.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, it's the prison break, and they got to get all the clones out. And then because they get the clones out, they Goofball Rampart and Nala Se are out. And I do love Echo's rally speech to all the sad prisoner clones. And they're all just like, yeah, we're going to fight.
You deserve your freedom. But Omega and I can't do this alone. Is anyone willing to stand with us? I will. I've got one more fight left in me.
Me too. I'll stand with you.
Good. You two, get the engine to the hangar and secure a shuttle. I'll trigger an alert in a different wing and reroute their troops. The rest of you, grab any weapon you can.
Yeah, no, that was great. All the clones, I'm in. All the clones with their beards and weird haircuts that we haven't seen in a while. Oh, and I just love in that scene too, there's just like, if you watch in the background, there's just like Rampart looking shady, peeking his head around and listening to them.
In all the battle parts that followed that, I was really bummed to see any of those clones get killed. I was like, man, every single one of those clones should survive.
Yeah, I know. That was extra sad. Well, and speaking of extra sad, we get going down the checklist. We get to see Nala Se and Omega have their little reunion. Nala Se is still speaking in her super sad voice. She hasn't recovered.
It's a little bit better than it was in jail, but yeah, so good to see you. Yeah.
So this was the only part of the episode that I think I was sad that they didn't do is like, I wish Omega would have gave Now let's say a hug.
Mm.
But I guess maybe she's still mad at Nalase. But it's like Omega knew what was going to happen. Like she knew Nalase wasn't ever going to leave. So that's where I was like, oh, just give her a hug. But she didn't.
But Nalase is going to blow it all to hell. She goes into the blood lab with a thermal detonator. And Goofball Rampart comes in and he thinks this is his big plan to get back in going to lunch dates with Palpatine. But no, Nalase blows it all up along with Goofball Rampart, which, you know, RIP Goofball Rampart, RIP Nalase, two of our favorite people. But it is really interesting thinking about now that Project Necromancer is blown up, but then like, or is it? Because in Mando season 3, they're talking about Project Necromancer and Hux's dad, and somehow that's connected to Thrawn coming back, and how is that connected to Gideon and Grogu?
That strength must not be wasted. Grand Admiral Thrawn's return will herald in the reemergence of our military and provide Commandant Hux enough time to deliver on Project Necromancer.
But this was, I think, this was the perfect way to end both of those characters. And it's like, as much as it would have been fun to see the Zillow Beast eat people, Rampart trying to get his status back by being shady and being blown up by Nalase as revenge for all of Kamino, and her last words being like, this technology belongs to Kaminoans, basically no one else is going to get it and I'm going to make sure of it, and Rampart just thinking he's being slick and then just blowing up.
Which then I was watching it this morning being like, well, you know, people were like, oh, it continues on Exegol. And I'm like, but does it?
Yeah, I think whatever. I mean, Project Necromancer is still around, but how they achieve Project Necromancer is probably different.
But it makes sense where they would want Pershing so bad. And if Pershing had like a change of heart in Mandalorian, how they'd be like, no, no, no. You're like one. He's still wearing like the cloner patch. Post Return of the Jedi, where they'd be like, if you understand Kaminoan technology, like, we can't have you changing your mind. You've got to be loyal to the Empire or the First Order or whatever it is. So the clones, they go to the evil room and the clone X guys come in, they fight. There's the one with the tech goggles. Hemlock and his glove take Omega. And Hemlock is going on and on about how you clones, your loyalty is a weakness, which just made me think of Return of the Jedi with your overconfidence is your weakness, your faith in your friends is yours, which is all true, but it's not a bad thing. Like Luke's faith in his friends, it's not a weakness, but he does. And like, yeah, the clone loyalty is what saves the day over and over and over again.
Well, I just love, too, with this episode where it just keeps, like, I feel like getting more and more just becoming just like an 80s action movie or something where it's like, it's not enough for Hemlock to take Omega. It's like, we're going to handcuff each other together. And then it basically leading up to the big showdown in the rain at night with, you know, he's got her hostage and how are they going to get her free?
It's like a Lethal Weapon movie, isn't it? Like, did that happen in a Lethal Weapon movie?
Probably. Yeah, because that's all I could think about the whole thing with, I mean, Hemlock really is kind of just like a really good, like, action movie bad guy. And then, yeah, the way they take him out at the end is like just totally classic action movie. You hate this guy so much and you're cheering when he finally gets it and falls to his death after being killed already. Like, he gets killed like 3 times.
Which, RIP Hemlock and his glove. Well, we'll always remember you and your glove and all the good times you and your glove gave us.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made this episode better is at the end when they're talking to Tarkin and they're like, we found the remains of Dr. Hemlock and some troopers. If, like, how Hemlock gave the Bad Batch the goggles, if they would have gave Tarkin Hemlock's glove.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Like, that's the only thing missing.
Yeah, then there's the hug, and the hug is so good. And, yeah, in comes Tarkin and send everything to Project Stardust. And it's like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, even before that, because it was like I was waiting for the Star Destroyers to show up, and then it was like the Bad Batch escapes. And then it's like, oh, yep, there they are. They just missed them. But it was really cool seeing a Star Destroyer with the Jedi Cruiser, the Empire version of the Jedi Cruiser. I don't know. It was just cool to see them together and just kind of going with the whole theme of this show of the being about kind of the transition where we have, you know, clone troopers walking around with proto stormtroopers and we have the ships all kind of mixing together. It was a cool shot of them coming into the planet.
Yeah, the early days of the Empire, and that Star Destroyer legit like looked like a model. It was crazy.
Yeah, it looked good. All the space stuff, like the Bad Batch escaping from Tantus, and you could see all the lightning on the surface of the planet as the ship flew away. Like,
so good.
Yeah.
And when Tarkin said Project Stardust, I was just like, oh man, Rogue One. For some reason, I've been thinking a lot about Rogue One. Like, I've just been putting on Rogue One and just watching little bits of it here and then and just being like, man, Rogue One.
And thinking of, like, again, it's like Bad Batch and Andor are the same story, is just what's so fun with Star Wars on TV right now. And going into, yeah, Rogue One, of like, you have this kids show about mutant clones and their clone daughter that just leads right into this very serious, very British drama about rebellion and freedom. And it's like all the same thing. And it's all about the Death Star and ridiculous Wilhoff Tarkin.
Yeah, because then, like, when they were talking about Project Stardust this morning, I'm just like, oh man, Cassian, they were actually building parts of the Death Star and they don't even know it. And then Cassian, what he does is part of the make the Death Star destroyed. And yeah, it's like, oh, anyways, let's go on down a dark Star Wars hole.
Yeah.
So then they cut to Pabu, where Hunter and everybody, they're all living their best life, right? And Emery has her glasses off, and she's going on missions with Echo to help clones with Senator Chuchi. And they're talking about Senator Chuchi, and I'm thinking about Senator Shushi, because then they show people getting sushi, and it's like a clone going to get a plate of space sushi. And then they show a close-up of the plate of space sushi. And I was like, why? Is the space sushi, like, going to start talking or something? No, they just want to show you the space sushi on Pabu.
Because it's visual storytelling, Jason. It's like, that's how we know Pabu's back. Like, last time we saw Pabu, it was in bad shape. They had no ships. They had no boats. We didn't know if they'd even be able to have sushi anymore. And now, you know, we're back on Pabu and sushi is back on the menu and Pabu is back to normal. It's all good.
The Bad Batch babies are walking around with the Boba Boys and the Boba Boys are wearing like Hawaiian shirts and stuff. I think they're all going to get some space sushi.
Yeah. And then they're going to sit in hot tubs and just talk about how wonderful it is on Pabu.
The Pabu spa.
Yeah.
I was just so happy that the Boba Boys, I was like squinting. I'm like, are those the Boba Boys? Those are the Boba Boys. They're back.
Yeah, I was happy to see them. They're growing up so fast.
All those Pabu shots. And there's just like clones sitting on steps eating sushi. Like, life on Pabu is great.
Well, and that was the thing where it's like, there's part of me that was like, well, where's the mayor and Fee and Omega's little friend, who has a name I can't remember, but then it's like, well,
Omega's little friend was, she was walking around.
Yeah, but she was like in the distance. I guess I missed her, but yeah. You know, it's like, that's not important. It's about the batch, and they're going to focus on the batch. And And I think the other thing that was kind of nice with this episode, with so much of Omega hanging out with everybody but Hunter this season, like this was a lot of Omega and Hunter together, kind of reminding us that they have a relationship too. It's not all Wrecker and Crosshair.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the story started too.
Yeah, the two of them.
And they're talking about how they're going to get the Bad Batch babies home, and what about the other clones? And I like that. Yeah, they're just like, it's up to them. You know, it's the old, and I love it too, because it's the old question. Like I was saying in the beginning of the episode, like, is the Bad Batch actually going to talk about what happens to all the clones? But it was the question we had post Revenge of the Sith. Everybody did, where it's like, okay, so what happens to the clone troopers? And especially after the Clone Wars show. And we saw even in season 7 where it's like Order 66 and what happens to them. And I like how the Bad Batch has kind of given us the answer to that. Like, the clone story is kind of done now. I mean, I think there could be one day Tales of the Clones, like Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire. I think that would be cool, because there's still like Hauser and Cody and a lot of stories. We don't know what happens to all of them. But in terms of just like, just thinking that the clones have now the freedom to choose who they want to be, like we said, that's really cool.
Well, yeah, because if anything, it's like, you know, what happened to the clones? It's like, well, they're just like normal people. Like, some of them are retiring and just doing what they can. Some of them are still staying with the Empire. Like all the Republic Commando guys, like they were all still clones. So there's still some Empire clones, and there's some retired clones, and they're still, yeah, Cody and Rex and Gregor and Echo are still out helping the what will ultimately become the rebellion. So it's like, what happened to the clones? It's like they're just regular people at this point. There's good ones and there's bad ones.
It's really cool. And the last shot of the happy family together, just chilling.
Omega and her three dads.
And then what, the screen goes black and it's like, oh, is that it? Is that how it ends? No. We're back on Pabu. It's clearly much later. They show like a faraway shot of Pabu, and it's grown a lot as a city. And we see older Omega. Some people saying she's a teenager. I think she's got to be more like in her 20s.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to, it's like both times I watched the episode, I felt like she was a different age. But I think they're, you know, they know what they're doing. I think it's purposely kind of ambiguous, right? That, and, you know, we have children, like they do grow a lot. Like it could only be 5 years, right? Like there's, you know, kids grow fast. So it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years.
So I was thinking when she joined up with the Batch, it was right after Order 66, and from Order 66 to A New Hope, it's 18 years. And she had to have been like at least 10 by the start of season 1. So does that make her 28 at the end of the Bad Batch season 3?
Well, and but the rebellion started before Rebels or during Rebels, which was a few years before. I mean, there was a rebellion before A New Hope, right? Like there's a rebellion
in Rogue One. Yeah, well, that's like the day before. But I was thinking too how she says the rebellion needs pilots now more than ever, and I'm like, oh, so is this post Battle of Yavin?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm a sucker for a flash forward in a finale, so it made me happy that they did it to kind of give you a little bit of like taste of the future. But then the fact that it was just so sweet, right? Like this episode was full of little sweet moments, but it was like, just when you're getting over the fact that it's grown up Omega, you know, she turns on the light and there's old man, hippie Hunter just hanging out with Batcher. It's like, aw.
Old space hippie dad with a beard Hunter, still with the face tattoo with a beard and like little dingle dangles of hair. And he's got like a hippie headband on now. He's like an old punk rocker that got into reggae. Like, I can't be a punk anymore. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just really mellow and I'm listening to just Rastafarian reggae.
just letting it go, eating sushi and just taking it, keeping it chill. But yeah, that was like, man, this is another little teary-eyed part of like, oh, she's all grown up and there's Hunter. He knows his super senses still work. He could smell her waking up.
Well, and we are both parents of teenage girls too. Yeah. And we, you know, we know how fast that time goes. And also looking at the fact that like they're becoming their own people and eventually are going to leave this house. And I think we can definitely relate to that scene where it hits us in a very soft spot. And I think a lot of, you know, many, many, many people can. And it, again, it's such a Star Wars thing. It's about family. It's about, you know, it's think about this. It's about saying goodbye and letting go. And there's this little movie that's coming back to theaters this weekend that has a lot to do with that kind of topic too.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to let go, but you gotta do it or bad things can happen.
Don't look back. Don't look back.
Well, the other thing that was just the icing on top of this wonderful episode and series about being a parent and kids is Omega's all grown up and she leaves, but she still leaves the lights on and Hunter's got to turn them off because those darn kids will never turn the damn lights off.
Damn it. Because I still got to do everything.
The show's too real.
But I love her ship when she flies out. She's taking Tech's goggles. And you think like, wow, Tech's been gone for so long now. And the back of her ship has like the little Christmas lights and stuff back there. It's so cool. And then I think too, you know, it's a thing. A lot of people when this show ended today, they were like, well, so what's next? Oh, live action Omega. And it's like, well, I do really think we're going to get live action Omega. Here's my prediction. Ahsoka season 2, and she's going to be part of something with Hera, because the two of them go way back. And you'd think if she was in the rebellion, Hera would be like, I remember you.
Yeah.
Either Omega in Ahsoka season 2 and Omega in the big Dave Filoni fighting the Empire movie.
Yeah, I could see it. I didn't even think about it. I forgot about the Hera Omega connection back from season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, mm-hmm. Man, yeah, no. It seems like it's inevitable, but I'm all for it.
It's going to be like live action Ezra all over again. When we see like, oh my God, live action Omega, and she's a pilot in the New Republic, we're all going to freak out.
Yeah.
It's the thing. These stories never end. It's the ending of the Bad Batch series, but it's not. It's never going to end. Rebels didn't end. We thought Rebels was done. Like, so long, Rebels. There were panels at Celebration. Goodbye, Rebels. Rebels didn't end. There was Ahsoka season 1. It's Rebels is still going.
Well, and if they want to have another animated show with Omega, it can be around post. If there's a post Rebels animated show, Omega can be in that too, if they wanted to. Like Hera and Omega animated show to tide people over before Ahsoka comes back. Or, you know, there's. Who knows what they're going to do? Yeah, because I guess that was kind of the smart thing is there's you know, there's still threads hanging out there with the different characters. There's a time jump between the end of the episode and the jump of that there could be more stories with the Bad Batch and Omega. And then there's, yeah, where is Omega at the end of the show?
Where's Wrecker and Crosshair? Because they say they're out there, but they're not, you know, what are they doing?
Well, they're sleeping.
I'm so tired.
They're sleeping. They don't have super senses. They couldn't tell that she woke up.
Oh, right.
She's
yeah.
She's really quiet. Yeah. Right. Like she tried to sneak out, but you can't sneak past Hunter.
Yeah.
Unless you're Fee. But he learned his lesson about those tunnels between Ventress and Fee. He's like, I'm never going to let anyone sneak in or out of those tunnels again. And he didn't. He caught her.
Crosshair now has like long gray hair. Like he looks like an old British rocker or something.
And instead of like a prosthetic hand, he has like a guitar hand or something.
I was thinking the exact same, like a mandolin.
Yeah, instead of a hand.
So that's the Bad Batch. That's the end of the Bad Batch series. It's been, you know, we've been talking about the Bad Batch since the very beginning. Before they were even in Clone Wars Season 7, we did an episode about the animatics, and we were like, this seems great.
Yeah, maybe someday they'll finish this. Wouldn't that be crazy? And here we are.
Yeah, what a ride. I mean, yeah, we went to the premiere of Season 3. That was incredible. So the Bad Batch has been special to us, and I'm glad it got a really, really great finale, and I can't wait to see where the characters go next.
Endings are hard. They're very hard to do, and not everything can do it, and they did it, and yeah, it was a satisfying conclusion to the season and to the series, and yeah, there's all these great new characters and old characters still waiting to show up in stories, and then yeah, this the crew and everyone who worked on this show and made this show, it's like they just keep getting better and better too. And I just can't wait to see what they do next as well. As much as wanting to know what the characters are up to, I want to know what the creators are up to too.
And endings are really hard to do, but I think this is a good ending for episode 399 here, talking about the Bad Batch finale.
The Bad Batch ended like it started. They're a good batch. Bad means good, not bad.
It's like Michael Jackson bad.
The Bad Batch is the bomb, and they always have been.
If anybody remembers that episode, thank you so much. So on that note, everyone, you should leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, so more people can find the show when they're looking for Star Wars podcasts.
And check out our website, blastpointspodcast.com. And make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you're part of the Blast Point Super Chill group.
And if you want to hear all the review episodes for the rest of Season 3 of The Bad Batch, those are on Blast Points Army on Patreon. You can listen to them for just $2 a month. It's a really good deal. Coming next month, there's going to be Acolyte commentaries in addition to the regular Acolyte episodes that'll be coming out all throughout June and July. And if you are a member of the Blast Points Army already, we thank you so very much for your support. But don't get too sad, everybody, because in just a matter of days, we're going to have another episode 400.
May the 400th be with you.
Again, if you listened to us on Star Wars Explained last week, you may have gotten a little hint on what episode 400 is going to be about, but it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. It's going to be fun. And then before you know it, Tales of the Empire, the hits just keep coming.
Guess what? Another episode of Blast Points. So no rest for the wicked. It's going to be a lot of stuff and more Phantom Menace stuff coming this month. So very, very busy over here. So
drink lots of water, take a deep breath, eat some sushi, put on a Hawaiian shirt and a headband, stay chill.
So until episode 400 in a matter of days, thank you all so much for listening. Talk to you very soon.
Bye bye.
May the force be with you. Goodbye, old friend. May the force be with you.
It up.
May the force be with you. Ah!